Hello and welcome to episode 69 of the Beyond the Self podcast. I am Africa and I'm very, very, very happy to be recording this right at the beginning of 2024. It is the 4th of January. So if you are listening in real time, meaning listening at this time of the year where there is this really beautiful new start energy, which I do think can lean into urgency sometimes, but I also think there can be something so wonderful about it because it's so palpable and it's so collective and it feels like we're doing this together, even though after 5 days we're going to be back to where we were, or we might be back to exactly where we were 2 weeks ago. I think there's something quite beautiful about it. And I'm someone that doesn't like being cynical just for the sake of it. So I can actually appreciate this energy without pressuring myself or forcing myself. I think it's such a beautiful thing. So if you are listening in real time, happy new year to you. And to be honest, my ease into the new year goes until March. It's usually until March, where I feel like, okay, I'm out of the cocooning stage. My wings are slowly unrolling and I'm sort of stretching my neck because I've been in like slumber position for a long time. And I'm starting to look around me and see what's around to be like, okay, all right, it's time. It's time to take flight. So I take a very slow, entry into the new year. And if you're listening to this far into the future, thank you so much for spending time with me, for just letting me be part of your day. I always say this at the end of every podcast, sometimes in the middle, any opportunity that I can tell you that I am grateful for your time and your attention, I will, because there is such a huge demand for your time and for your attention. So the fact that you choose to spend it with me is something that I'm very grateful for. So thank you. Thank you. As you can see by the title of this podcast, we're going to have a conversation that I haven't had as directly as I'm going to have it now. We are talking about how your circle determines your success. And that is and sounds like a very absolutist statement. And I will let it be that, because this is something that I'm very fucking serious about. Your circle determines your mindset. It determines so many things. And I want to get into the specifics of that, because we have spoken about outgrowing. We have spoken about what happens. I mean, the most recent episode, episode 68, is titled, What Happens When You Outgrow Yourself? And that is a really, really important one to listen to. Actually, there are 4 episodes that, if you can just make note of this now, I really recommend that you go to them. I know some of you have gone to them quite a few times, but I'm going to put them all in one place right now, because I think they sort of make a series of sorts. First one is, do you know what you stand for? This is episode 18. And this dives deep into your values. This dives deep into you actually being very honest about the values that you are actually embodying and experiencing the world through, making your decisions through, versus the values that are more desired, who you wish you were, what you wish you stood for. And this is going to be very, very important as we have conversations like this. Now, second episode that I would recommend is, what happens when the toxic person — toxic is in quotation marks here — what happens when the toxic person is you? Oof. This is episode 26, and it's a really important reflective episode that I really enjoyed making. I actually had this conversation for the first time publicly in 2019, and it was so profound. Even at the time that I had it, I was able to tap into intricacies and nuances that I just hadn't heard before. So this is the updated version that I recorded last year, actually 2 years ago now. What happens when the toxic person is you? So that's episode 26. And then you have signs you've outgrown people, places, and things. This is episode 34. It's one of the most listened to episodes. I think that and my deep desire to be led by a man. Oh, I love that title. I love that title so much. I think those two are some of the most listened to episodes, and for good reason. But in the context of what we're talking about now, I want you to listen to episode 34. Okay. And then the final one, which I mentioned at the beginning, is what happens when you outgrow yourself. So this is episode 68. Now, I am going to be, as I usually do sometimes, I am going to be riffing out loud in this episode, but I do have very specific things that I want to put forward. And today's session, I am quite literally calling it a session because you are with me at my desk right now as I'm working. It's 9 a.m. I am doing some work, getting myself in order. And I thought, you know what? This is the episode that I would like to record today. So I've been making notes. It's just me and my phone and my coffee. Yes, I do drink coffee. Okay. And I actually checked myself into the Mandarin Oriental Hotel. Such a beautiful, beautiful hotel. Oh my goodness. Anyway, I checked myself in here. I'm going to be here for 4 nights. And I just wanted to be in a different, beautiful environment where I can just be taken care of and I can do the final proof edits on my book. I have the physical copy right here. Can you hear that? Oof. That's the book. So I'm going to be doing the final edits here. And I thought, let me bring you into my office this morning. So I'm going to be riffing out loud. But again, I do have some specific things that I want to put forward. So the point of this episode is to really drive home the fact that the people that you surround yourself with will significantly, and I don't say that lightly, will significantly influence your attitudes, your beliefs, your overall mental state, and the success that you will or will not experience in your life. And this has been something that has been heavily on my mind in the past year. I would say, actually, I had to start thinking about these sorts of things when I got sober. And that's also something that I say often, because I really was forced in a lot of ways to start asking myself the hard questions. And the first area that I had to start looking at was my friendships. It was my relationships. I was experiencing so much adversity because of my own doing, but I was also experiencing just a lot of stagnation. I didn't have any depth, or at least the depth that I craved. And again, a lot of it was my own creation, but I had cultivated relationships that didn't allow for me to be in alignment with any sort of success. And those that came into my life that wanted to align me onto a path of success, I pushed them away because my own value system was so out of integrity, because my self-esteem was pretty much non-existent. Because I didn't know what to do with love. I didn't know what to do with intimacy. I didn't know what to do with support. I didn't know what to do with people cheerleading for me. I was in a constant state of self-sabotage. So getting sober did mean that I had to start asking these difficult questions. And I know that for a lot of us, we just haven't thought about some of these things, which is why this podcast exists, which is why I always do my best to bring you something that is going to offer you just different insights. But this is something that I have been thinking about for a very, very long time, and it's taken a different turn and a different quality this year, because this year I have been navigating heartbreak and looking at the reasons why that relationship in particular broke down. I have been looking at different friendships that I have. I haven't had any drama or anything like that when it comes to friendships. I mean, I don't have any drama in any parts of my life, actually. Even my romantic relationship, the one that's just ended, it wasn't because of drama. It was because of fundamental values and things that I needed and things that he needed that were out of alignment. But I had to really start asking myself, when it comes to the people that I have around me, the people that I'm choosing in my life, the people that I haven't met yet, but I'm making room for, I have to understand that each person will influence my attitude. Each person on some level will influence my beliefs, whether it's directly, indirectly, consciously, or unconsciously. And each person will influence and impact my overall mental state. And there'll be varying degrees of all of this, right? But ultimately, anyone we spend time with, especially if you spend enough time with people in conversation, in intimacy, it does have an impact. And I know it's like, yeah, no shit, Africa, but we really forget this. We really do forget this. So I thought this would be an important conversation just so I can share some of the things that I've been thinking about. A lot of things that people have been sharing with me. And, I have a feeling that you're going to get a lot out of this if you haven't already got even just a little tiny little light bulb moment. So the first thing that I want to just focus on an area when it comes to this, when it comes to your circle determining your success, when it comes to your circle determining your mindset, first thing is social influence. Your friends, your family, your colleagues, as I said, they shape your perspectives and your behaviors. So this could include things like peer pressure, like social learning, which we're going to dive into in more detail. I think most of the episode, we're going to be talking about social learning and exactly what that means. But also the impact of your social environment on your personal development is another big one. So I'll say that again, the impact of social environment on your personal development. So where you actually spend time, when you hang out with that friend, when you hang out with that colleague, even the place that you work at, that has an impact on your personal development. And then something else that I want to and will be talking about in this episode is going to be networking and professional growth. And here I want to just riff with you on how professional contacts and your mentors impact your career mindset, your ambition, and your opportunities. Okay? Choosing the right network for you is really, really important when it comes to professional development and your career. And for some of us, maybe this is not something we have thought about at all. And then for some of us, you might realize that you might not have had the language for it, but you're in that time right now where you need to start thinking about networking intentionally, where you need to start thinking about your professional growth, where you realize that maybe you've hit a ceiling of some kind. Something is stagnant. There's a stagnant energy within you. Maybe you're doing the work, you're going to work, or you're running your own business and you've been doing the same thing, but there feels like there's a stagnant energy. Something is not moving. You've hit a ceiling, whether it's self-imposed or because there's an actual limitation in the environment that you're in. So it's stifling your ambition or making you question your ambition. And it's closing the door to a lot of opportunities, or you can't even see the doors. So it's really important that when we talk about your circle determining your success, this does include your networking capabilities, and it does include professional growth. And then we're going to be talking about positive versus negative influences. So positive environments, all right, and the relationships that you have can lead to a growth mindset. So if you are or have ever experienced the stagnation that I was talking about earlier, it's because you need to start leaning into a growth mindset. And a lot of the time, you can't just do that by yourself. Okay, even some of the strongest of us, the most self-aware, the most resilient, there is only so much you can do for and by yourself. And I've really had to lean into this understanding this year. It's something that I've known from an intellectual plane, it's something that I have always known, you know, that team is very important. Community is very important. Your village is very important. Your tribe is very important. I know all of those things, but I have only really embodied, and that word is very important, embodied that knowledge this last year, the last year that has gone. As my profile has elevated, as my company has grown, as the work that I'm doing has grown, as my mission has been refined, as I really step into my mastery and what it is that I do, I realize that I have got myself here, which is wonderful. And I haven't solely done it myself, you know. I've had people that have connected me. I've had relationships has been the biggest one, which is why I really think it's important that we speak more about relationships, or at least even start to think more about relationships and the importance of intentionality. But it's also to do with personality and character, because when people like you and you're a kind person and you're just likable and you're someone that doesn't have a scarce energy. So for example, with me, I'm a natural connector. When I meet people, immediately my brain goes to, oh my goodness, I know someone who is equally as incredible as you that you have to meet, and I will make sure that I connect those people. I'm not someone that thinks, oh my goodness, that's my contact, that's my network, these are my friends. No, I want everyone to connect and to meet, and I want us all to elevate each other, to support each other. So that can be felt from me as a person. And when you have that energy, which you can absolutely cultivate if you don't naturally have it, people want to help you. So I've really been shown that people really just want to support me. They just want to help me. And I've been shown the importance of team. And I've had, oh my goodness, I could gush about my relationships and the community that I've created around me for the rest of this episode, but we're not going to do that. The point that I wanted to make is that this past year, especially, I've really seen the importance of leaning into your network, leaning into your relationships, your team, but allowing for people to support you. That's the biggest one. You have to actually make room, energetic room, for people to help you, because you can only do so much by yourself. So leading with a growth mindset is not just about individual growth. It's about the growth that you can do with your circle, which is why it's so fucking important. You choose your circle. You might not necessarily choose your colleagues, okay? But you choose your circle, the people that you spend the most time with, the people that you share your dreams with, your goals with, your vision. If you don't have them right now, isn't it a beautiful thing to know that you can create that, right? But also, in the same way, because again, here, I'm tapping into one of the areas of focus, which is positive versus negative influences. In the same way that you can have a circle that allows for you to really step into your growth mindset, you can also find that you have a circle that contributes to your limiting beliefs or a fixed mindset, which the reality is that most people find it much easier to feed their stories, to feed their limiting beliefs, because our brain anyway has more of a negativity bias, right? For survival, for protection, etc. But also, we have the capacity to have the self-awareness required to say, actually, I know my brain leans towards the negative, but I can lean into the opposite. And you can't always do that yourself at every single point in time, which is where your circle comes in. This is where your people come in. But if you have people that are always like, oh, actually, maybe you shouldn't start that thing, you know, because it's going to be so hard. Why don't you just do that other thing? That's much easier. Or people that are maybe intimidated by how audacious your vision actually is. People that try to talk you down, even without meaning to, try to talk you down from your greatness. People that, because they can't see it for themselves, they can't actually see it for you. And again, it doesn't make them bad. It doesn't make them morally wrong in some way. But they have their own limitations, which means they're more likely to project those limitations onto you. And that's something to be mindful of. Because your circle can absolutely, as I said, contribute to your growth, but they can also contribute to your fixed mindset and affirm and validate your limiting beliefs, which is why I really push the fuck back on victimhood and having a victim mindset. I'm so grateful that all of the friends that I have, and the majority of them are Black women, and that detail is important because of what I'm about to mention. The majority of my friends, especially the closest ones to me, are Black women that I've known for a very long time, since we were little teeny boppers, pretty much, okay? But not a single one of them has a victim mindset. Not a single one of them ever, have I ever, 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 and some of them are even activists, right? Never have I heard them use their race or any part of their identity as a reason why they can't do something. Sure, they might acknowledge certain limitations or things that they have experienced in their lifetime, because we're all grown. We're all in our late 20s, in our early 30s, and we've lived life. So yes, there's adversity and discrimination that all of us have experienced to do with our race, but none of us wear any of it as a badge of honor. None of us use it as a shield. None of us wear it as a fucking cloak. So I'm not surrounded by people that are constantly complaining and leaning into victimhood because of their race, because of this, because of that. Yes, we can have very real conversations about the real world that we live in and some of the roadblocks that we've experienced, but none of that is ever reason to not become. None of that is ever reason to not lift the other person up. None of that is ever reason to not dream so fucking audaciously. There's nothing that I could say to my girlfriends or anyone in my life, actually, where they're like, oh, Africa, I think that's a little bit too ambitious. Unless it's unrealistic in relation to what I'm actually able to do right now in terms of my capacity. Or it might be a case of them saying, actually, maybe you're not able to do it this way, but if you were to do it this way, it's probably going to be more effective. Or I can connect you with someone, or I know someone that can make it a little bit easier, but I do think it's possible, you know. And they don't say it because they're bullshitting me. They're just people that hold themselves to a certain standard. So therefore, they can hold me to a certain standard, right? This is so, so important. And I really hope that in just me speaking in this way, you can understand why I am saying that your circle determines your success and why your circle determines your mindset. So I want to spend the remainder of the episode kind of touching on some of those points that I made earlier, but specifically doing it through the social learning theory. Okay. So this was developed by a incredible psychologist called Albert Bandura. That's a wonderful name. It's a fun name to say, Bandura. Albert Bandura. And in this social learning theory, he defines it as the importance of observing, or rather he emphasizes the importance of observing, modeling, and imitating the behaviors, attitudes, and emotional reactions of others. So it pretty much suggests that learning can occur within a social context through simple observation, even without direct reinforcement. And you really see this with young children, with babies, young children, toddlers, even preteens, teenagers, etc., where a parent can tell them to do something, but the child actually learns through observing what the parent is doing. And it's not even from a conscious place of saying, okay, you're doing this, so I'm going to do that. We learn through observation, whether we realize it or not. Okay? This is why, and I find this to be a theme with a lot of the conversations that I have with you, where I try to really drive home a lot of the points that I'm making, a lot of the topics that I find important to bring forward. Because whether we realize it or not, whether we like it or not, a lot of the things that we do, our decision making, our habitual behavior, our habitual thinking, even the side of the bed that you wake up on in the morning, a lot of it is unconscious. So much of it is unconscious, and we learn through observation. So now think about your friendship group. Think about your circle. Think about the people that you spend the most time with, the people you're in conversation with the most. Yes, there's a lot that you're filtering in on a conscious level. There's a lot that you're registering on a conscious level. There are a lot of decisions that you're making, a lot of opinions that you're putting forward. But imagine all of the things, all of the programming that is being created and ran like a tape day by day, moment by moment, hangout by hangout, conversation by conversation, that you can't even see. And all of it is happening through observation. That's why you spend enough time with someone, you start speaking the same. You know, you pick up on the little nuances of how they speak, their tonality, the kind of jokes they make, how they eat even, you know, sometimes even how they dress, you know, when partners start to dress alike or best friends start to dress alike. And actually, I can't wait to have my best friend Roxanne on this podcast one day, because a lot of what I'm talking about now contributed to the success of our relationship, but it also contributed to the demise of our relationship in 2018. And then we broke up for a year, did not speak, run into each other at all for a year, and then reconnected again in 2019. And when I say the demise of our friendship, of our very long-term friendship, it was because through observation, we had started to sort of mimic each other. And I, for the most part, felt that she was mimicking me, which didn't allow for me to have a chance to actually get to know who she was. Sometimes I would feel like I'm speaking to myself. Sometimes I would feel like, and these are conversations that we've had publicly. We started to have them publicly a little bit towards the end of our relationship, because we had a very public brand, a public business. We had a sexual wellness company called The Cherry Revolution, where we were the founders, we were the faces, we were the voices. So we were very open in terms of the conversations we would have. So we touched on this, but through observation and spending a lot of time together, we kind of ended up morphing into each other. And I, for the most part, felt like she had morphed into me in a way that didn't allow for growth in the relationship. But again, consciously, I didn't really see this over the years, right? But through observation, we do end up modeling and imitating the behaviors and attitudes of the people around us. And it's not always a bad thing, because in the same vein, Roxanne and I, through that modeling and observation and imitation, we were able to create just the most wonderful, fabulous duo, you know, and we really did. We really, really did. But observational learning is not something that we should just skip over. Okay. People often adopt behaviors and mindsets they observe in their social circle. So if your circle has a positive growth oriented approach to life, you're more likely to develop similar attitudes. Every single person, and I really mean every single person that I call a friend right now as a 31-year-old woman, every single one of them has a growth mindset. Even in our limitations and our moments of self-doubt, there's something that each person has really fucking worked for. They were not just gifted this skill or this way of thinking. Every single person has worked for it, which is good news, because it means that you can too. If you can't see yourself in any of what I'm saying, if you believe that you don't have the capacity to cultivate any of what I'm talking about, get those thoughts out of your mind. Immediately put them in the fucking bin, wave at them and wish them well, because that could not be further from the truth. You can cultivate skills, but some of these skills are absolutely perishable if you don't use them. Okay. But observational learning is a big, big, big one. So I really want you to think about that. What are some of the things that you're picking up on that are not actually useful for you? And what are some of the things that you're picking up from your circle that are really useful, that you can really start to lean into more? Start asking more questions. Start spending more time with certain people, specific people. You get to do that. I really think we forget sometimes. I know I did for a while. Forget that we get to be so intentional about the people that we have as friends. Not everything has to be on autopilot. And also, not everything has to be overly analyzed to the point of treating things like a business or like a project or like, but this is all about self-reflection and reflection in general. Again, we're in a very different time right now where people are so busy. And if you live in a metropolitan city, if you live just in a very hectic environment and you have a 9-to-5, you have children, you have people to look after, there's so many things that demand your time and your attention, as I was saying. So many things. And when it comes to relationships and friendships and our circle and all of that, we have to be so intentional about where we are spending our time. We just do. So even if it's just writing down the people that you have in your life, the people that you want to spend more time with, the people that you know you need to change the dynamic of the relationships with, because it's not allowing for you to feel like your cup is full. Because you're feeling like this relationship, I have done my best, they have done their best, but it's actually run its course. Well, you get to say that. Although, I think it's important to listen to some of the episodes that I recommended about the what happens when the toxic person is you, signs you've outgrown people, places, and things. Because if you have been any part of my work and my musings for a while, you will know that I completely reject this idea of just cutting people off because you feel like it. I don't think it's useful. I think it's a form of self-sabotage. It's often a form of conflict avoidance because you don't know how to communicate well. You don't know how to express that actually I'm not satisfied in this relationship anymore. I think there can be a natural outgrowing that happens, but I also think it's important to check in on the cause of wanting to end a relationship. But you get to end relationships, all right? No one is owned a lifetime of connection because you've known them for 5 years or a decade or 20 years. No. Time is not always an accurate metric to look at, or the only metric you should look at as to whether a relationship is fulfilling or successful or pushing you to step into a space of growth instead of a space of limitation. Okay? Now, the second thing that I want you to think about when it comes to the social learning theory is imitation of success. So as people, we do mimic the successful behaviors of those around us. So if your circle includes successful, motivated people, you are likely to imitate these success-oriented behaviors. So find those people, even if it's just one person. And I really want to make it clear, when we talk about success, right? And I think I actually did an episode on success. I can't remember the number, but have a little scroll and see which one it was, because it was a very, very important one as well. When I talk about success, I want you to understand that this is not just about material success. Okay? We need to understand that success is a very multifaceted universe. I'm talking about emotional support and mental health. I want to have people in my life, whether it's familial relationship, whether it's platonic relationships, and especially romantic relationships. I want to be with people that value emotional success. I want to be with people that value intellectual growth and learning. Right? People that value cultivating positive habits and lifestyle changes that are healthier. Things like regular exercise, better eating habits. For example, when I think of my friend Sarah Macklin, who's just brilliant, she's a nutritionist, she's just a thinker, a podcaster, just a very, very wise and extremely beautiful woman. She is someone that inspires me to eat well. And she actually has a podcast called Live Well, Be Well, which is also a charity. I highly recommend that you check out her work. She inspires me to eat so well. She values her health so, so much. And she's a very busy person. But something that she is not going to compromise on is how she eats, making sure that she's keeping herself very healthy mentally, physically, spiritually, in all of the ways. And this is someone that I have had the pleasure of getting to know in the past year, but someone who I regard as a friend, as a very dear friend. And just by virtue of having someone like that in my life, irrespective of how often we speak or not, just having someone like that in my life inspires me to hold myself at a high standard, right? So really look at the people that you have in your life. What are some of the areas and some of the things where they inspire you to hold yourself to a higher standard? And if you can't even think of a single person or a single thing, it is time to start making some changes. So when I talk about success and your circle determining your success, we're talking beyond material success, even though that is a part of that. When I have friends that handle their finances really well, guess what? We have so many money conversations. We talk about the numbers. We talk about our visions. We talk about our plans. And there is no scarcity. There is no shame. There is no guilt. And when there is any guilt or shame or doubt, we speak life into each other. I'm getting chills even as I think about it, because these are the relationships that I've always craved. And it was such a beautiful thing to realize, and it always is when I get to remember and remind myself that I get to choose. I get to choose who those people are. And even if it's just starting with mentors, people that you don't actually know personally, but people that have, let's say, podcasts like this, other thinkers, people that are in the public eye who are just inspiring. They talk about growth mindset. They talk about money. They talk about sexuality. They talk about, I don't know, property, interior, investing, food, exercise, whatever it is. I know it can all be overwhelming, but you don't have to listen to everything at the same time. I say this to say, if you don't have that proximity to those people just yet, you can start with mentors. You can start with people that somewhat feel out of reach for now, but they will inspire you to start creating or seeing those communities for yourself. Career and professional development. I want people that value these things. People who can be mentors, people who can give career guidance. To me, that is success. People who know how to network effectively, people who can help me find mentors, people who appoint themselves as mentors for me. All of that is very, very important. People that value creativity and innovation, to me, that is success. Emotional intelligence and relational skills, to me, that is success when I have people who value those things in my life, but who embody those things. Resilience and overcoming adversity, right? People that have global awareness, cultural awareness, were able to have intelligent conversations and not even just book smarts. I mean, I didn't go to university, but I like to read. I like to know what's happening in the world. I'm a very curious person. I'm a very intelligent and smart person. And I don't feel any shame because I didn't go to university. You know why? Because I'm forever a student. I'm a student to life. I'm a student to the universe. I'm a student to the world. I'm a student in my relationships with people. I can learn from anyone and everyone. So I attract people who are of the same quality. People that value personal fulfillment and happiness. To me, that is absolutely success. Of course it is. How can it not be? So imitation of success is very important, a very important thing to think about, because we do mimic the successful behaviors of those around us. And of course, the shadow is that if we're surrounded by people who have limiting beliefs, people who have very low self-esteem, people who are always complaining, people who lead with a victim mindset, people who never want to see solutions, it's fine if people have complaints. Life is life. So of course there are things that go wrong, but there's a difference between unpacking your suitcase in victimhood and constant complaining. I don't know about you, but I can't do it. I cannot do it. And at this age, I refuse to do that. It is a waste of my time and a waste of yours. I will listen, I will support, I will impart advice, or if you don't need advice, I will simply be a listening ear for you. But if it becomes a pattern, and I say pattern very specifically, because once, twice, thrice, fine. But if it's a pattern, every single time we sit down, I am sorry, I cannot do it. I respect you and myself far too much to keep us in this cycle of nothingness. I won't do it. Okay? Vicarious reinforcement. What this means is that when you see other people being rewarded for certain behaviors, it encourages you to replicate those behaviors. Ooh, this one is important. If your social circle values certain mindsets or actions, you're more likely to follow suit because a part of you is expecting similar rewards. When I think of another one of my friends, Simon Salter, he's absolutely wonderful. He is the founder of Dursi, which is a mushroom tea brand, but it's also just so much more. They have an incredible community. I bring him up because he's one of the people that I've met in the past year again, which feels beautiful because the people that I've met in the past year are just, they are a reminder of who I am as a person. Not even just externally, but fundamentally me, Africa the being, you know, Africa the spirit. They, because of their integrity, because of their values, because of their worldview, and not in a superficial way, but their worldview and how open they are to the world, they show me who I am as a person. They hold a mirror up because our relationships hold a mirror up. Your circle holds a mirror up to you. Anyway, Simon wakes up stupidly early in the morning, earlier than I desire to, wakes up, meets with his community in Hyde Park at the Serpentine so they can go cold water swimming. And when he would tell me about this or any time that he talks about it, I find it so deeply, deeply activating and inspiring. I always have the biggest smile on my face because he could be so tired, had a late night, but he will get up and he will go. And I'm sure maybe there are some days where he doesn't go, but he makes it a ritual and a practice and his community is a part of it. He expects it of himself. His community expects it of him and he shows up. And he shows up for it. And it's inspired me in so many ways to get up much earlier than I ever would. It's encouraged me to replicate those behaviors. And you better believe one of these days I will be going cold water swimming with them at 5 or 6, whenever they go. I think it's 5 in the morning. But your social circle, when they value certain mindsets or actions, even things like breath work, which Simon is also very involved in, but he has a community that values that as well. And through my ex, I think this is something that I'm so grateful for him for introducing me to just the gifts of breath work and how much he loves it and how much he would talk about it and me seeing him when he would do it. I followed suit because I expected similar rewards. And I knew that I'd be able to hold myself to a certain standard again because of that. So I really want you to take in everything that I've been talking about today. And I'll just finish with just giving you just a few little practical things around this, okay? And the point of the little tips that I'll finish with is this is for you to just assess and to maybe reshape your social circle. And the first one is self-reflection. I want you to start here because you will need to identify what your values, goals, and mindsets are. And think about the ones that are important to you, which is why episode 18 is a really important one. Episode 34, all of the ones that I listed are very important because they can help you do this. But hopefully this episode alone was able to help you do that. So really think about the values, goals, and mindsets that are important to you. Are these reflected in your current social circle? Be really honest about that. Now, next thing you will do is to evaluate your circle. I want you to assess the influence of your current social circle. Do they support your goals? Do they exhibit behaviors and attitudes that you want to emulate? Are there toxic or negative influences? Really, don't overly make this a moralistic thing. We just need to be really fucking honest, okay? Life is very short. None of us are getting any younger. Right now, in this moment, you are the youngest you are ever going to be. Start making different choices, make different decisions. You get to do that. And your social circle is no exception. Evaluate your circle. Number 3, seek diversity. I want you to look for a diverse range of perspectives. You know that this is something that I, am very serious about. This is going to broaden your understanding and open you up to new ways of thinking so that it can prevent an echo chamber effect. My friends are so different. There's a through line with every single person when it comes to values, when it comes to integrity, that kind of thing. But we are all very different people with very different worldviews from different parts of the world. Politically very different. And that is really important. An echo chamber will keep you stagnant. It will keep you stifled. It will keep you repressed. It will keep you swimming in your limiting beliefs and thinking that this is all there is. It will keep you swimming in victimhood and low self-esteem, and we are not fucking doing that. So seek diversity. And a wonderful thing about this, if you're thinking, well, how do I even find people? Technology has given us the gift of access. You can access so many different types of communities, join communities, do things. Which ties into number 4, engage in new activities, join clubs, groups, and classes that align with your interests and goals. A lot of us, and I'll just say it, are very lazy. Lazy in the sense that sometimes we expect to be handed a community. We expect to be handed just brilliant, wonderful people who are inspiring. I'm sorry, it doesn't happen that way. You have to be proactive about your life. You have to leave your house. You have to sign up for things. You have to spend money. You have to have conversations. You have to be vulnerable. You have to build, cultivate social skills, learn social seduction. I'm going to do an entire episode. I'll make sure it's actually the next one on social seduction because my goodness, a lot of us need to learn it. We talk about communication, which is a big part of it. But social seduction is a whole other thing, and it's something that I'm obsessed with. So we need to talk about that. But you need to be proactive. It is not just going to happen. No one's going to come down or up, okay, and just hand you a community and just hand you a beautiful group of friends who are very understanding, very open, very supportive, a relationship, a partner that is just all of these things. No, you have to be proactive. Okay. Number 5, network with intent. Be intentional about networking. I want you to seek out mentors or individuals who embody the mindset and achievements that you aspire to. Because if you're not connected to any of those people, how do you plan on becoming successful? How do you plan on leaning into your ambition? There's only so much you can do by yourself. Even if you're someone that has all of the fucking willpower, all of the resilience, all of the tools, you can only go so far by yourself. So network with intent, online and offline. Now, number 6, final one, limit negative influences. Gradually distance yourself from relationships that are consistently negative or just don't align with your goals. It doesn't always mean cutting ties completely, okay? But it does mean you have to reallocate your time and energy more productively. Reallocate your time and energy more productively. And I'll leave you there. I'll leave it there because I know I've said a lot, I've put forward a lot, but I can feel the potency of this episode, and I hope that it's one you can come to time and time and time again. So to put a bow on all of this, those steps, those six steps, self-reflection, evaluate your circle, seek diversity, engage in new activities. My fucking goodness, leave your house. Network with intent and limit negative influences, but check in on whether you are the negative influence yourself. Because sometimes you are. Sometimes you have good, inspiring people around you, but you can't see it because you are the negative influence yourself. And I have experienced this too, which is why thank you, sobriety. okay. So it's really, really important that you take all of this in, but don't just let it sit in your mind. Don't just let it sit and be archived in the library of your mind. Embody it and use it and integrate it. Okay. So, all right, we're done. And then the next episode will be about social seduction because I think it ties in so perfectly with this conversation that we're having. And I think it's a very good setup into the new year. But to be honest, it's a great setup at any point in the year. I think we should be looking at our circle, looking at the people that you have in your life. It's so important. Anyway, I will love you and leave you. Please do leave me a review or a rating. I have been so happy to see some of the recent reviews and ratings that you've given this podcast. It means a great deal to me, more than you will ever, 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 ever know. So thank you. I adore you. And I will see you in the next episode.